Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Oh, that song always just fills me with joy. Hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the lucky guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. As always, I love to ask folks to zip over to the Epiclesis website. That's epiclesis.org. You can find out all kinds of information there about the church and what we're up to and what's an Epiclesis anyway and all kinds of good information. Best of all, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. We worship at 10:30 at the corner of Winding Way and Pasadena in Carmichael. Today is a very special day because, well, for several reasons. Number one, I have a very special guest right here live in the studio, and that's one of the reasons why it's special, because during the Rona, I was only able to have folks who call in or I join them electronically or something like that. But today, right here in person, is one of my favorite people in the whole world and a member of our church, Caitlin Bolin. Hi, Caitlin. Welcome.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. And again, it's really, really good to have, well, anybody here so that we don't have to be in masks or talking on the telephone. It's just good to have you. Caitlin, the reason you're here today is because you and I had a really interesting conversation the other day about, gosh, a lot of stuff. A little bit of politics, a little bit of college, a little bit of evangelical church. I mean, several wonderful things there were swirling around. And I have to say, you really had some wonderful and interesting and I think unique insights. You have just returned from your first year of undergraduate school. But before we get to any of that stuff, just tell us something about Caitlin Bolin so we can just get the basics, okay?
Sure. I am studying environmental studies at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, and I'm minoring in photojournalism. And I really love backpacking in my spare time and swimming at the river or in mountain lakes. I work at REI, so I'm very outdoorsy. And that's one of the cores of who I am.
And you've always had that bent, haven't you? Your daddy loves to go, well, your whole family is outdoorsy, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. He taught me all the names of the native plants and animals growing up and took me on backpacking trips to the Sierras. And I watched Man vs. Wild as a kid and wanted to build forts in the backyard. And so I definitely have always had an affinity for nature.
Let me ask you this. You have been a member of our church, Epiclesis, since, well, gosh, almost the beginning. Yeah, how many years now, Caitlin?
That's a good question. I mean, it's like 10. Don't know. It's got to be close to 10 because I think so. Beginning of high school, maybe middle school.
Yeah. Well, we've all seen you grow up into an outstanding young woman of God. And I have to say, and I don't mind saying it publicly, you're just one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. And it's been so wonderful to have you and your family in our church.
Thank you. It's really been a blessing to be a part of it.
Caitlin, a minute ago, you said that you were studying environmental sciences. And there was something also about photojournalism. Could you just sketch out for us a little bit about what you hope to do with that degree? What makes your heart sing, as I often say? And then I want to pick your brains a little bit about, well, some labels that sometimes people throw around, because that's part of what we talked about the other day.
So I am a Christian studying environmental studies and photojournalism, and what I hope to do with that is something like Nat Geo reporters do, go out into the wild and report back on environmental issues that are happening around the world that are impacting people, animals, plants, the environment, all kinds of things.
Well, and that's something we have in common, right? Because you know about my great love of the...
I do.
I kid my congregation folks all the time because I'm not really outdoorsy. although you've seen yourself today that I do love plants and going outside and planting things. And
yes.
I've had a lot of hiking experience and camping experience in my life. But these days I would just rather watch an old movie or read a book, I think. So I really admire you for that because you're very adventuresome. I mean, you guys go to some far-flung places. And now you're off to school for a whole year studying environmental sciences. And by the way, I can see you in your pith helmet and photojournalism vest with all the film or whatever they do these days out in the middle of nowhere taking pictures. That does make your heart sing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I really, really think God has called me to that because he's given me such a passion for photography and writing and the environment. And this is what I have come to believe is the conglomeration of those things into mm-hmm. what he has for me to do, because I just think he wants me to communicate with people about environmental issues we're facing, but also to connect them on an emotional level with nature, because facts don't do it. You know, you really have to care deeply about something, and that photography and writing has done that for me my whole life, and nature has been such a blessing and a refuge for me, and I want others to understand that and have that in their lives and come to care about that in a similar way.
I think you're uniquely primed and ready to do that. You have unique gifts that all come together there. And I really admire you, especially for having this, what would you say, sharp of a focus of a notion of what you want to do this early in your life, because you're still very young. How old are you again?
22.
Okay, so comparatively young and yet having a really sharp focus about what it is you want. You were talking about the environment, and that then brings to mind some buzzwords that are floating around there these days. Let's talk about that next. But first, let me remind folks that they're listening to an interview with Caitlin Boland. She's a wonderful young woman and a member of the congregation at Epiclesis. I'm Chris Alford, the host of the program, where each week we love to bring you a variety of guests to talk about ancient future faith. And remember that there's a dash between ancient and future, and that stands for, well, right now. And right now, I think, Caitlin, and I think we share this in common, it's important for Christians to be engaged with the culture and to speak to current cultural issues and problems and so on. I think that one of the problems we have in our culture these days is that just everything has been politicized, yeah? And even talking about something that on the surface should be so obviously a Christianly concern or a biblical concern, that is to say the environment, has also been politicized. Talk with me a little bit about that, and what are some of the pitfalls that you've encountered when you begin to tell people that, A, I'm a Christian, and B, I also want to be engaged with and talk about environmental issues?
That's such a big issue nowadays, and it's very easy to slap a label on things and move on from them and decide that, well, someone, they use the word environmentalism. Oh, they must believe X, Y, Z. Especially as Christians, I think that word environmentalism and a lot of those kinds of words can be associated with non-Christian ways of approaching the environment and nature.
Yeah. And end up being pejorative or used as a cudgel against somebody else.
Exactly. And in college, you come across all kinds of ideas and ways of life and beliefs. But what I'm really passionate about, rejecting labels as the end-all be-all for explaining something.
Good for you.
It's so hurtful, I think, to people, especially young people. In my phase of life, I just see how people from all different kinds of walks of life are seeking deeper meaning and deeper understanding and connection with others and ideas. And I have encountered this weird situation where I have gone off to study something that is very associated with being in the world and of the world.
And of a particular political viewpoint, too.
Exactly.
Right?
Very left-leaning, and science is going to fix a godless world. It's viewed as that by many Christians.
Yeah, right.
And in this weird zone of, I am a wholehearted Christian. Christ is first in my life and very present in my life. And this is what I believe God's calling me to do. And he has done so many amazing things in my life through this world of the environment and school and photojournalism and all that. But I sometimes have interactions with the church in America and with fellow Christians that you're going off to college, you're getting brainwashed by the liberals. Like that is a phrase that I have encountered before and my friends have encountered in their different churches, and just a feeling of disengagement anytime you bring up the environment. Global warming, well, that's not happening. And it creates this big discussion that has been polarized and politicized.
I was going to ask you, when folks come at you in that particular way, they're making political assumptions.
Yes.
And I imagine that you would be quick to say, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, I would rather engage with you about this subject and don't assume that I have politicized the issue. And furthermore, I'm coming at these things from a Christian worldview and a biblical perspective. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. I really feel passionate about trying to depoliticize environmental issues. And I keep seeing that phrase and it's very politicized. So I'm trying to explain that this is stuff that has to do with nature. The environment is changing. There are species at risk. There's over harvest going on. There are food source issues, all kinds of stuff that is happening. And I don't think we should be politicizing it because it shuts down the conversation and it blocks resolution for these issues and just creates argument and problems. Mm-hmm. And I think approaching it from a Christian perspective, God created this environment. He cares so deeply about every tree, every leaf, every bird, every person who lives in it. And I don't believe we can fix all the problems regarding the environment and our interactions in it, but he cares so much that we care about the environment and we care about what's around us and that we're treating it well and we're treating each other well and we are making a positive impact on the environment and the people that live in it.
Yeah, from a biblical perspective, we ought to care deeply because we have been put in charge of it, yes?
We are stewards of this place.
That's right.
And there's a huge responsibility with that word, stewardship. We are to care for this planet.
When God put Adam and Eve in the garden in the long ago, he told them that they were to guard and tend the garden. You may have heard me preach about this before, but one of the fascinating things about those two words in the original Hebrew is that they appear in only one other context in the Old Testament, and that is with priestly duties in the temple. You see, in the beginning, and it all begins with nature, doesn't it? God created the heavens and the earth, and he put humankind there to guard and tend it, and he viewed it as a temple not made by human hands. Heaven is described that way as well. So, by the way, it's all going to end in a garden as well someday when there's a new heavens and a new earth. But in the meantime, we're supposed to go about this in a priestly way, Caitlin Boland. How does that strike you? Does that make your heart sing?
Oh, absolutely. That's so much of what I'm about, is communicating the idea of sacredness about nature and that we ought to regard it with sobriety and care and love and compassion, just a passion for caring for it. It is our priestly sacred duty. And I am so blessed to be in a role where I want to connect people to nature on an emotional level with my work, my writing, and with my photography, because I believe the connection I have formed with nature through nature documentaries, books, my dad taking me out and teaching me how to find edible plants and what type of rock was in my area, that kind of stuff. Those experiences formed who I am and taught me to see nature in a deeper, more spiritual way. Nature fosters a deeper spiritual awareness and compassion for living things. And I believe that flows into our compassion for other people.
So let me put you on the spot and pick your brains just a little bit. It's so important to begin a conversation by saying, what do you mean by that particular word? Rather than assuming that it comes with all the baggage and whatever that you think. So environmentalism, when I talk to people about environmentalism or the environment or a host of other things that have been highly politicized these days, I like to say, what do you mean by that? So I think you and I are on the same page about that. But let me pick your brains and say, it's important to make meaningful distinctions between what we believe and how others can use that term or what they believe. So if you had to say, and you touched on it, it a moment ago, what the biblical or Christian distinctives are about environmentalism versus, say, how someone else might feel about it, what would they be? What are the top two or three distinctives that you approach environmental issues with?
I think, like everything in life, the environment should be viewed as a Christian in light of God's story. So reverence, I think, is an important one to look at it through. Sacred duty, stewardship, compassion for all of life, and understanding that God has touched everything down to a little snail. That snail is important, and that we live in this world and we have resources we can use from it, but there is a sacred responsibility to take care of it as well.
You touched a minute ago on some issues having to do with church in general, and I want to turn to that next, but I'll remind folks that they've been listening to an episode of Ancient Future Faith with Chris Alford. That's me. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, and as always, I'd love to have you zip over to the Epiclesis website, epiclesis.org, and learn more about us and what makes us tick. Best of all, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning for worship at 10:30. Caitlin Bolin is my guest. She's a wonderful young woman who is a member of our church, and we're talking about her studies at school, her calling from God, let's just put it that way, right? To focus on issues having to do with creation, the environment, and what is the Christianly approach? Where does all that fit into God's story? But Caitlin, there before the break, you were also pointing a little bit to attitudes and behaviors of the church in general. Let me pick your brains here a minute as well. You are the sought-after demographic, and churches these days are, at least they say, keenly interested in what young millennials feel and think and experience in the church. Now, I don't even know whether or not you want to be labeled that way, and I wouldn't try to, but you do fit the demographic. Here we have a golden opportunity, folks. I have a real live 20-something with me in the studio. And Caitlin, I'd love to hear your heart about what you'd like to see the American church, American evangelicals, and I'll use that term with a lowercase e and as broadly and in the best sense as I possibly can.
Again, labels.
That's
Let's
right.
investigate what they mean yeah, before we jump to conclusions.
Yeah, evangelical has these days about 12 different definitions.
Yeah.
And the word evangelical itself among folks your age has come to be a negative pejorative
term. Extremely negative. And I don't know if the church knows that.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I don't think they do. But let's assume for a moment that we're just talking about evangelical lowercase e, living and worshiping and being Christians in America these days. What would you like to hear from them when somebody like you comes home from break from school or talking about what you're studying at school or so on? What do you want to hear? What are you hoping for?
I think one of the biggest things is open-heartedness. I know you knew me when I was a kid, and then I went away to school, and now I'm kind of in this weird zone. It's like, oh, who is this Caitlin now? It's almost like a stranger again. But I think young people just want to be heard and known and wanted and sought after. So come up to me, ask me what I'm doing with genuine interest, and ask me out to coffee, ask me to do something. Let's go for a walk. I think we want to be treated as a person, not as a young person or the college student in the church or just, again, a labeled group or someone who's so different, because it's hard coming back. We're in a weird place in life where we're gone a lot and then we come home, and at least from my perspective and a lot of my friends, we want connection and we want a safe place to land. It's our church family. But when we've been away and then we come back and it feels that people don't know how to approach us, that's a big thing. It feels sometimes that people don't know what to do with us. We've just come from the front lines of all the crazy, uncomfortable stuff that's going on in the world. We are at the heart of it in universities. And I think people in the church in America are really uncomfortable with that, because so often we do go off and we get deluded and we accept all that and we change and we fade. But not all of us, not all the time. And so that's not me. And to come home, I don't want people expecting that that's happened to me.
Yeah, assuming.
And my friends don't want that either. My age group, we want to be treated with the respect of another adult that has, really, if we're taking our faith seriously, we're missionaries. I am not building wells in another country, but I am a missionary because
indeed.
I am studying environmental studies and I am a Christian and I use that part of my life to glorify God.
There you
and
go.
And so I'm coming home from the mission field and I don't want people assuming that I've been brainwashed or deluded or corrupted. I want people to take the time to re-get to know me.
Oh, and you preach, girl. That's good.
Trust me and trust God.
Now that's, hold on. That's so good. We need to focus on that a minute. I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and saying, don't let anybody despise you because of your youth. And I think that's one sort of umbrella that we could put over some of this conversation. But folks, the other day, Caitlin and I were getting together, as we love to do occasionally, for lunch and talk. And she had this amazing phrase that she used. She just said it just a second ago, but I'm going to get her to repeat it. Tell us what it is again, and then I want to unpack it just a little bit.
Trust me and trust God.
Yeah. You see, folks, we've poured, or at least we should have, all kinds of time and resources and hopefully selfless love into our kids. And we have hopefully brought them up in the way of the Lord. And then they go off to college. And just as she said, my goodness, it's like the front lines. And there's all kinds of crazy, wacko stuff happening there. And so when they come back, it would be only logical for us to trust them, because in a way, it's trusting our own pouring life into them and trusting God. Caitlin, I think that's the key to all this, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Even if we can't trust our own work, trust God. At a certain point, you have to let go and you have to pray and trust that God has got us. We're out there and there's nothing you can do, but that's okay because we're living in the palm of our King. And yes, we're out on the front lines, but that's where he needs us. Mm-hmm. This world needs us to engage right now as Christians. We cannot make a difference in it unless we're present in it. And I am sometimes uncomfortable out there and scared and unsure of what to do and young and don't know the answers to many things. But I know that God is using me in really powerful ways in places that not everyone is. Mm-hmm. And I think he needs us to be open-hearted, compassionate, quick to listen and slow to speak, and to trust him above everything else. Trust that he's got you and that he's got me.
Folks, do you see why I had Caitlin be my guest today? There's so much wisdom there. I just admire the socks off you. I'm just so proud to know you and to be your pastor. And I'm right with you, folks. It's not time to retreat. We need to retreat to the extent that we are engaged in worship together. We encourage one another. We hear from the sovereign, but we also need to be engaged. And we need to be engaged, just as you said, Caitlin, in those very spots, perhaps most of all, that have been politicized and or misunderstood or whatever. Wow, good stuff. Caitlin Bolin, you're a wonder. I'm so glad you took the time to be with us today. Has it been fun? Was it okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate getting the time to chat with you.
And one more question. Maybe one of the things you can do on your journey of being a photojournalist is to check back in with us at Ancient Future Faith every now and then to talk about these wonderful places where the kingdom of God and his creation come together in a way that we might not have thought about before. How about that?
I would love to share that with you because
good.
He's always doing exciting things.
Folks, you've been listening to another episode of Ancient Future Faith. My wonderful guest today has been Caitlin Bolin, a young woman who's a member of the Epiclesis family. You can learn more about that at epiclesis.org. In the meantime, I want you to be thinking about this, would you? Surely, the road to our Christian future does run through our Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113, or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey there, friends. This is Pastor Chris with one more important word for you before you leave. If I were capable of singing all the parts of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus, I would, because I have happy news for you. Things are opening up and we are back to in-person worship, and we are not requiring masks or social distancing. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday morning worship service at Epiclesis. Find all the information at epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. The Lord be with you, and I hope to see you this Sunday.